Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. Before your favorite AfterBuzz TV after show begins, I'm so excited to tell you that my new cookbook is out. It's called The Every Girl's Guide to Cooking. It's the quickest, fastest, easiest, most amazing recipes for kitchen newbies and chefs alike. Please check out MariaMenounos.com for more info. Buzz you later.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
The best mood starter ever.
I just downloaded it.
Yeah, this is our theme song now. I think from now on out.
Will you tell them what you said when it came on?
Oh, I want this to be my theme song every time I walk into a room.
Wouldn't that be such a nice intro?
Let them say what they gotta say.
All you gotta do, Mary Lou, is just cue it up every time you are about to enter a door and then just walk in and play it.
Yeah, you have the control. You just slide your phone in on the floor and then just be like, oh, how did that happen?
Can I old school boombox it?
Please do.
Say anything style.
Yeah. Oh,
that's a very Alana thing.
In case you guys didn't know, this is Brandon's first time on the live chat.
So I'm looking at it because normally people have a computer up, but I have never seen anything anyone has to say. So now I'm trying to be more
and let them say what they want.
Let him say what they gotta say.
Because last time we did have somebody commenting, but we didn't get to really address it because it was maybe inappropriate.
Right.
We couldn't quite figure that out in the time frame we were here. So we're here this week. If you guys are watching, please join our live chat so you guys can interact with us here. I am your host, Mary Lou Mandel. You can find me on all social media at Mary Lou Mandel, and let's meet my lovely co-hosts.
Hello, I'm Brandon Marlowe. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BAMARLO.
Hey guys, it's Jay Ellis, and I'm on Instagram at @don_be_jealous, JELLIS, and then Twitter at @still_jealous, JELLIS.
I feel like my handles are so boring compared to yours. I'm Jeff Graham, guys. Thanks for tuning in. You can find me on Twitter at Jeffrey C. Graham and Instagram at Jeffrey Crane Graham.
Oh, because I was going to ask, what's the C, but it's Crane.
It's Crane. It's my mom's maiden name.
I like it.
That's nice.
It's also a bummer, though, because it's a very prolific toilet manufacturer. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that.
No. Crane toilets. No, and did children associate that?
Well, yeah, because urinals almost always have Crane on them, so lots of bullying that this guy faced when he was in fourth grade.
I thought Ichabod Crane at first, but maybe that's just Sleepy Hollow.
Very literary of you.
I mean, very intelligent.
Yeah. Clearly.
Yeah. I don't pee, so.
No, I used to date a guy named John, and Lou, and he's John, and I was up here at the toilet with toilets.
That's kind of cute.
The John and the Lou.
Yeah.
We didn't work out.
It didn't work out.
But you know what did work out is this week's episode and last week's episode of Broad City. We've got episode 5 and 6 that we're talking about today, which I was super, super excited about. Episode 5 is 2016. So I was surprised when they saw the name of this one, because usually I feel like it relates more to the episode. And I was like, does this really relate? I was like, I guess it does.
Yeah.
I guess it does.
Yeah. By the end.
Yeah, by the end, you're like, I see. So, yes, we had lots of cameos in these two episodes, which I want to talk about once we get in between the two. So let's get started with this one. We start with the girls together in the park.
Yeah.
And what are they doing? They're like trying to make good combos of things.
Inventions, essentially, right? Kind of what, and I think, I don't know, I've had this conversation with friends, I have the next $1 million idea, but
I really
clearly
liked
I don't.
Gift basket.
I like gift, except I did read an article today. I think officially it's GIF is what I read.
You can't make GIF happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah,
make GIF happen.
And then if you're the one friend that says it, that way everyone looks at you. Uh-huh. You're just like, no.
I'm overcome with legitimate social anxiety anytime I have to use that word.
Oh,
me
I never
too.
Say it. And I never say meme. Or mem. Or
meme.
Mimi.
I think it's meme.
The proper French meme.
Yes, no, my favorite of all of those was when Ilana's like, okay, what about a skateboard with a handle?
Logic.
Scooter.
It's a scooter. Mm-hmm. She's like, okay, totally right.
Dirt.
And then they're like, why don't we always go there? Why don't we always come here? It's beautiful. No, it's kind of far. Do you guys have places like that you guys like, every time you go, you're like, oh, I should come here all the time, but then you're like,
anywhere in LA, because you gotta drive.
Yeah.
I guess it depends on the time of day. I should go here, but I can only go at 6 p.m., meaning I will never go.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I don't have one specifically for around here, but, I mean, hiking, I guess. I go to Temescal Canyon, and I'm always like, man, I should come over here more often.
Yeah.
I don't know, that's mine.
Well, actually, Central Park, I'd never been to New York, and I went twice last year, and every time we always stay in Central, or in Times Square, and so I'm really close to Central Park, and I always think, oh my god, it must be so convenient for everyone to come here, but then I ask any of my friends who live in New York, they're like, I haven't been ever. Yeah. Like, I just don't go. It's so, like, far away off the beaten path for, like, what you actually do. I'm like, oh my god, I would only live here if I could live right next to Central Park.
Yeah, I feel like that about the beach. I never go to the beach.
No.
Like, ever.
But then people from other places are like, don't you go to the beach all the time?
Like, and you're like, LA's so great. No. Like, going to the beach all the time. I was like, oh, what?
That water? I don't think
so. I live in Venice, so I go, like, all the time.
Yeah, and I'm probably infested with gross things because I'm in the water all the time, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Right. Gross. Okay, so somebody's using the beach.
Yeah, we are. We're doing it. We are.
Someone's using the beach. Okay, so we've got two different stories that are happening with the girls this week. Abby has got to renew her driver's license, and then Alana's got to get a new job. Right?
Bye, deals.
But before they part ways, there's like a fun little moment where Abby's like, I love your lipstick. And I was like, yeah, I got it used? She's like, what, you buy new? What?
And then she's like, no? Uncomfortable.
Right? And that's so adorable, Abby, who's always overcome with this, like, no, I need to please you.
Yeah.
I'm fine, right?
Yeah. So, that's, is that something that happens, Marilee?
No.
Okay.
No, that's
I didn't know.
Awful.
I don't use lipstick, so.
Yeah, I don't, I don't know anybody that I know who would admit to using, like, used makeup.
You know, right? I would eat a Skittle off of the ground. That is not a joke. But I have an issue with using other people's chapstick.
Yeah.
Other people using mine, I'm totally fine with. But it's like, when someone else gives me theirs, I'm like, I really have to think about it.
Because you know what you're giving them.
Right.
Even though whatever they have is coming back at you.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
But you can scrape the top off. Like, that was a legitimate thing.
That's true. When she said that, I was like, all right, because that's like when you go to a makeup store and you want to try on lipstick, like, they wipe it off, they spray it with alcohol, they wipe it again.
Yeah.
Like, so that it is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But where did she buy this used lipstick?
Didn't she say she found it?
I think she found it.
If it's Alana, she found it while walking somewhere.
Yes. And she's
probably
like,
in the gutter.
She was staring at someone's butt, trying to identify who it was, and she looked down and saw
this. She can identify better with the butt.
Yeah. Such a funny joke.
So funny. And it's like continues forever.
Yeah.
Dad ass. Okay, so Abby doesn't want to go to get her thing, renew her driver's license. But Alana's like, you know, like, in the span of your life, it's a blip. But, like, in reality,
it's
gonna
1 second.
Yep. It's 12 hours, right? But that's real.
I know.
You know?
Okay,
the DMV struggle is real.
Am I the only one who always has really good luck? I've never been in the DMV for more than 30 minutes.
You're magic. I will go with you.
I could spend the rest of this after show telling you about my horror stories from the DMV.
Oh.
I don't know if you guys. It must be a big city thing, because when I lived in Cleveland, it was, like, fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But any small town I've lived in, it's always, like, easy. And then when I came to LA, I was like, what is this?
I had an appointment, and it was seriously, like, Abby's experience after at the Culver City one. I had no problem.
City one. That's the only one I've been
to. It was fantastic. I got a good picture, so I was actually happy about that.
That's great.
In Arizona, they must have it mainstream, because you walk in and the driver's license lasts for 50 years. I got it when I was 21.
So I'm
that's
moving.
Why there's no line.
So at 71, I'm going to look really good and still have the same ID.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. 50?
50 years.
50 years is ridiculous.
People take it all the time. And, like, I've tried to get money out, and they think it's fake.
I want to see it after.
Oh, I have raper face. It's really scary.
Now I want to see it even more. Okay.
Oh, no. Okay. So we do get her. Okay, so Abby really wants to get a good picture, because she says that this other one's bad. Like, that nobody has a good picture. You know, raper
face. Not me, Abby. Right.
Raper face, right?
I feel you.
So she's going to get her hair cut. And I love when she's showing all of the different pictures. And the girl who's in the booth next to her, like, looks at it, and you see her, like, cut the girl's hair off, and like, they don't even address it.
No.
Like, it's so funny. I love little nuggets that they do
so
for us in Broad City like that. But then she passes off this, like, her coupon, her deals for the haircut, and the guy's like, yes, we're gonna make you look so good. Wait, your haircut's gonna be $15. And he's like, we're done.
Yeah. It looked like he actually cut her hair.
I know.
It looked real.
I used to work background, so I worked a scene where they were cutting hair.
Mm-hmm.
And for multiple takes, what you do is you actually are just adding clips of fake hair in there.
Yeah.
But, it was not like he was looking. And because we watched it a couple times, and every time, just like, it doesn't look like he would have any sense. He just clips.
Because all of that might be fake, though. But I would hope. Because like, she had like, it was like half up.
I guess you're
otherwise,
right.
I'm really dedicated to her.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just having
maybe
chunks
just,
of her
like,
hair cut off.
Hair.
Right. Maybe.
Interesting. Well, it was
all a wig.
Well cast. Barber. I like mm-hmm. He was salon. Good. What do you call it if it's not a barber?
Hairstylist.
I was going to say yeah. A salonist. Is what I was
say. It's not a word.
You're making up new words. Logic.
Logic. Yeah. Logic. Maybe I'm more Alana than Abby. Yeah. I don't really know.
Yeah.
Especially you seem like so obsessed with Abby.
I know.
That you must be
right.
Alana.
Oh my gosh. That's exactly what it is.
It's totally you. And I have to say that yesterday I came to AfterBuzz and I was picking up. I saw Jeff and I was like, I need a parking spot. So I picked him up and we went to go to his car. He's like, I can't find my car. This is such a Alana moment.
I wish you were lying, but she's
not. But then you'd have to be like, but wait, I don't have a car.
Yeah.
We drove around. He's like, it's like a this kind of car. I was like, is it that one? That's exactly like. He's like, no, wait, maybe we passed it. Maybe it's further. We found it.
How did you lose? We have a one block radius that we can park here. How do you lose your car?
We don't need to talk about it. We should talk about Alana's tap dancing.
Yes.
Because that was actually great.
Yes, her skills.
I don't know tap, so I didn't know if it was like funny or if it was good. So, but it looked good.
Yeah.
I think it was funny because it was good, was what mm-hmm. I thought.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I don't really know anything about tap dancing, but yeah. I just, Alana slash... I mean, both the character and the actress always surprise me in, like, her legitimate theatrical talent. Like, mm-hmm. she's, like, a really good singer, and, like, mm-hmm. she can tap dance.
What? Right. In, like, these two episodes, she tap danced, she did a flip on
yeah.
the subway.
I know.
She spoke Chinese. And there was, like, one other thing that... the bully... That one scene where she's, like, on the phone negotiating.
Oh, my gosh. We'll talk about that.
That was so good.
It was, yeah. like, my favorite of all of it.
Many talents.
I was, like, I'm so in love.
She's just a very physical comic. Because, like, there's the pegging episode where she twerks on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she really knows how to... play physical and yeah. it's like she's just a talented actress for
well,
sure.
Well, didn't she say in one of the episodes that she was a gymnast?
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if like she secretly
yeah.
was.
Yeah, I think that she probably
I think they incorporate a lot of themselves into this, which
right.
I think is interesting because when you watch interviews, they seem totally different. Alana's very well spoken mm-hmm. and very calm, cool, and collected, and on the show, you know, she's a little bit more emotive.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting to see how they take those mm-hmm. certain parts of themselves. I would love to be able to ask, like, what sort of mannerisms and real things about yourself do you incorporate into the character? Because it's hard to tell.
I know.
What they use.
The line is blurry, for
mm-hmm.
sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. So then, like, back at the haircut, so she gets her haircut, and then she, like, her neck gets stuck, right?
Mm-hmm.
Abby's neck gets stuck, and, like, this is the worst, because now she's gonna have to spend the day at the DMV and try to get a picture, and she's just, like, a wreck of a person. More so than normal. So
yeah.
when she gets to the DMV, it's, like, chaos. It's chaos. Have you guys walked into a situation like that before?
It looked like Walking Dead.
It did look like Walking Dead. I was like, this was a smart,
yeah.
the production designer. Because a lot of those choices, you know, you can write that in a script, but that all comes down to production design.
Mm-hmm.
That comes down to direction. That comes
lighting.
Back. Lighting,
yeah.
wardrobe. And, you know, they're probably all background actors. That's a fun, I'm sure that's the kind of thing where these background actors read the description. You know, disgruntled, homeless looking types. They assume they're going to be on Law and Order. They assume they're going to be on Walking Dead or like The
yeah.
Last Ship or something. And they find out they're going to be on Broad City. They're
mm-hmm.
probably like, what kind of scene am I
going to
be in?
Yeah, today? What is this going to be? And then, like, her number, when she pulls her number, it's like a bunch of random numbers and, like, a hammer symbol.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that I thought was so funny because
yeah.
it's random, but it totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Like,
it worked for how they dramatized it
mm-hmm.
because it's not so much this is actually what you walk into, as this is how you feel when
mm-hmm.
you're walking in, that you are walking into, like, a purgatory that
yeah.
you don't know when you're getting out and you just have to go in. And so when she looks at it and she's reading all these letters and. Or numbers, letters, and a symbol, and all of them are popping up, and the one woman finally has her turn, and people accost her for the
yeah.
for her ticket.
She just starts cackling.
Uh-huh.
yeah.
And then when people attack the one guy when he unplugged his phone charger,
yeah.
and everybody goes after that. Like, I've seen those kind of things happen in airports.
Oh, yes. It
airports.
Is a hot commodity. If you have an outlet, you could barter.
Right.
You could be like,
yeah.
I will take your first class
Especially
ticket.
Especially LAX. It's
yeah.
so
And
bad.
Disneyland. I just saw that happen at Disney. I'm like, what do you... It was kids, or like 18-year-olds. I'm like... Go on a ride. You're charging your phone.
Oh, they do that at restaurants. That's the one
yeah.
thing you know you're getting old when you're just like, your skirt's too short and you're charging your phone all the time. what do you need that for?
Well, I always have like two backup batteries.
Yeah, smart.
A different kind of charger.
okay.
You're prepared. That's adulthood.
It's
yeah,
adult,
you are.
Okay,
right.
Gotcha. I'm not like, please, let
no.
me charge. Please, sir.
oh my God.
Please,
Could
sir.
I have some more?
Power.
Yeah.
so she finally, Abby gets up and it's time for her to take her picture and she's like, can you like count me down? Like, can we do like a cute side thing? And he's like, fine, you know, like, so she turns her head straight. He's like, 3, 2, 1, and then she vomits. Oh my gosh. That would be like the nightmare of nightmares. I wish they would have shown us that photo.
They didn't show us the photo.
Yeah, I was disappointed. Yeah.
But they did a still when she did it.
I guess it's the same thing.
Yeah, I needed it like on a card, like maybe they printed it once. Yeah. And then, but you wouldn't get your license for a few weeks anyway.
It's true.
Yeah, that's fair. Maybe it'll come back around.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, and they're like, oh yeah, you took that nice photo, but.
Yeah, we'll see.
We have this other one that we prefer to put on there. So she's out there, they get on the phone, and then. Alana is like on her bike messenger mission right now, so she picks her up because she says, "I would be happy to pick up that ass and like the most precious package ever," and brings her to the chiropractor. So then we learn that the chiropractor is like another awesome cameo that we have is Alan Alda.
Alan Alda, yeah, like, that was great.
So random, but like the more they get these celebrity cameos, the less random it is. Where you're like, yep, this is their world.
But also not random at all in the way that they're only there for a very short, like Whoopi Goldberg, and you use her for maybe 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting how they use them because they don't integrate them to be the star of that episode. It's not like Law and Order where it's like that person you know like is going to be the criminal.
Right.
Because that's who they're on the show for that reason. These you kind of never know how they're going to be used, which makes it more fun to watch.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen a guest star change sets yet. You know what I mean?
Oh, true.
No.
Yeah.
Which means they're probably only there for a couple days. I guess Kelly Ripa shows up to the coat check, and then she's also in the apartment. But I'm sure they're designing these co-stars, these guest stars, around locations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and making it easy for them.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, yes, you can be a guest on our show, and it's going to be the simplest thing ever. You just come in and be you and be fabulous.
Okay, we skipped over one little detail that I want to hit.
Yeah.
Is Alana's wig choices. In every season, she's had a wig, and she has such wig face. Like, she says it some way, and then she goes, God, I have, like, the perfect face for a wig. And she does. In every hair color, she pulls off.
She really does.
And last episode, she had, like, the Merida, the Brave, the red curly hair, and this one, like, the sleek blonde. I'm like, God, she has a wig face. Like, she looks so good in any wig that she wears under that helmet.
She really, really does. And I was surprised that there was a new one with a different hair.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I hope that they just keep using it.
I like that it's attached to the helmet and not her head.
It comes off with the helmet. Yeah, it's hilarious.
That's my favorite. She did look so good with it. She really did look so good with it. So at the chiropractor, we find out the chiropractor sells her art. And like it's actually very like caring of her.
If Abby were to ever have a chiropractor she sees regularly, this is so Dr. Heller is so the guy that she'd be going to.
Absolutely, he's the guy. So he's like, yo, you could just make an appointment. What are you doing? This is 2016. And so she makes an appointment, and it's DMB heaven. And I love the guy on the hoverboard who's like the concierge of it. Mm-hmm. He's like, yes, we've been waiting for you. And there's like chocolate everywhere.
The chiropractor gives one snip, and then her hair is fixed. And
flawless.
There was so much. This was probably one of my favorite like slapstick episodes that we've had, where it just is like these jokes that are. I'm looking for my other ones, but there's so many that were just so like moments like that where that made me laugh, where they just came out of nowhere, and. I don't know. I like that kind of slapstick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
And the show hasn't done really too much, but yeah.
Yeah, so she's got DMV heaven. She's got a photo shoot. They're like, wait, we got the photo, but one more for me. Right? And this is great. And I thought about this because I think we mentioned in one of the last episodes that what they go through is more realistic, but this was not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
It was a little hyper-surreal.
But all of the DMV experience was, like, very hyper-surreal, which I thought was fun.
Yeah. You know?
Especially, like, the whole experience of it, like, the one snip of the hair and everything's great.
You know, I think for the show, because it is so, like, set in real time and place, and we've learned to love that about the show. And at first when I was watching it and they started doing this kind of over-dramatization of the DMV, I was like, I don't know how I feel about this, but it wasn't until we got to the last part that I was just like, it really is how you feel going in. Like, you feel so, like, light when you walk in. You're like, no lines. It's, like, magic.
Right.
Yeah, you're like, so what luxury.
I think they had a good balance of using enough kind of fantasy and still keeping it very real and how she was feeling and how she... They didn't make her look too good.
Right.
Like, she's a very beautiful girl, and so they could have really, like, done her up in a way, but she was still kind of herself walking into this... unrealistic world.
The Annie Leibovitz type photographer.
Yeah. So, like, we got it. There. So, meanwhile, while all this stuff is happening at the DMV, we've got Alana on her mission to get a new job. So, like, what does she start out the episode with? She goes on the subway and she's like, I'm not a panhandler, but, you know, tip if you like.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So then she does her, like, tap dancing. She's got, like, a coconut bra on, which I thought she was going to do something with.
No.
You know, but that was just her costume.
No.
Or just what she's wearing.
Right.
Which is quite possible. But on there, of course, very impressed with the tap dancing and the flip. but we meet her brother.
Elliot Glazer.
Good old Elliot. So great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So great. And my favorite line that he said, he's like, you not listening to me right now is homophobic. And she's like, is it really? He's like, no. But she's like, I knew you were right.
Yeah.
You know, because he cares about her. But like, have we seen him before?
Mm-hmm. Okay. At the dog wedding.
Okay. He was at the dog wedding. Yeah. You are correct. So then we get into another really fun cameo of Rachel Drath. Who, you know, Alana goes to try and find new work.
2 months pregnant Rachel Dratch.
I shouldn't tell anybody.
I hope this isn't our last Rachel Dratch appearance.
Yeah.
Okay,
I hope they didn't waste it on that.
No, I know.
Because it was good, but there's so much more.
It's funny, she is kind of playing a straight man in this, and I'm so used to her, like, because she played so many cameos in 30 Rock the first season, and she, of course, was a star on SNL, so she has kind of played a straight man in Broad City. I'd almost like for them to recycle her or bring her back and have her lose her mind or...
She's great. And this is... I think this is an opportunity for us to get that because maybe Alana will keep coming back to her for jobs or something. Yeah. I don't know. Like, we'll see.
Yeah, she is in a position where she could be like a recurring person because we already have a history of Alana going to this person to like get other jobs. You know? Like, especially when she's like, so, you know, remember what happened last time? Like, I want to know what happened all these times. She's like, the Chinese food. I was hungry.
I know.
The plane ticket.
I was thirsty.
And the door.
Well, this is her second time on the show.
Yeah.
The first time she was in the office. And so I think if they keep incorporating her, because she's kind of like a transient. Like, you just never know where she's going to end up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they can keep bringing her back in a way that's not like, why is she here again?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And it did really remind me of, I think, one of my favorite cameos of Broad City ever. Was Fred Armisen.
Yeah.
And that's more so just the SNL relation.
Right.
But I was like, the I'm a baby thing, like, was brilliant.
So much fun. Yeah.
So much fun. So I would love to see that character come back somehow. I'm not sure how it would happen, but I would love it.
They could find a way.
Well, maybe that's why they put him in for so little, so that we don't get too much of this character yet. And they're renewed till 5 seasons, so maybe we will get some of these people again. And that's why we're getting, like, little pieces to hopefully you see... You know, the chiropractor again, the realtor who I love, Amy Sedaris.
Yeah.
And so I hope that we get these people.
All of these good people. So we've got Alana comforting her, and she's like, just lay with me, and maybe I need a new job. And she's like, rubbing her belly and saying, like, you are a badass queen. She's like, I have a job for you. And she's like, social worker, bike messenger. But she's actually very good at it. So, like, when Alana's out... As a bike messenger, she, like, throws this package to this lady. She's like, this isn't mine. Oh, wait, it is. How'd she do that?
It's that ass-dentification.
That is wonderful.
Thanks, everyone.
That's really cool.
Are you writing all these down?
I actually got to brag. Illogic and ass-dentification were on the spot.
Nice.
Good job.
I'm very impressed.
We need one for a wig helmet. Can you come up with something?
Now you're asking for it.
Wig helmet?
No, he's not prepared now.
I know,
it has to be like...
Yeah, let think simmer on it, and then we'll come back. Wig helmet.
A hell weft?
Yeah, how weft?
Where the F? The
weft? Like a weft is like a string of the hair. Maybe that's like too technical.
That's like a salonist would only know that.
Those are weave terms. So as she's on this mission as a bike messenger, she ends up having one drop off at the campaign office of Hillary Rodham, queen of the world. What were like some of the things she said?
I can't even... There's a list.
Future presidentress.
Yeah, so she ends up getting a job there, and at this point, like, of course, she doesn't realize that it's like volunteer because she's just excited to be there, is so great. And another really amazing cameo here, we've got Cynthia Nixon.
Yes.
You know, who's running this meeting, and Ilana's like already like in there. She's in the meeting and she's really excited about what they're saying. Like, I'm pretty sure she orgasmed.
Yeah. For the Grammy.
Yeah. She's just like, oh, I can't. But I love the interaction with Cynthia Nixon where she's like, great, like, I appreciate this, but like, how about every time you feel like saying yes, just nod your head.
Just don't.
And it was so like understated. She's like,
well, because, and that's when something's so natural for someone, when you tell them to not do it, it really is hard. You have to think about that.
Yeah.
And so for her sitting there doing it, I'm like, I can feel like you're anxious and you just want to say it so bad.
And she's sitting on the table, which I thought was fun too.
It's just an
Alana
thing. All these pencils.
Yeah.
Everyone there looks professional. And she, of course, just looks like her.
Yeah.
Wearing her fancy fashion.
Yeah. I do have to say, I love the commentary of just, if they ask her if she's a witch, do you have it?
Yeah.
You got it.
I had part of them. Like, she's not a witch. We're not gonna ask talk about makeup, bras. What was else?
If she cries in the office.
Yeah.
She knows how to read a map.
Yeah. Like, what an amazing way to make a joke, but also have some serious social commentary. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unfortunately, this is a conversation being had, mm-hmm. which is just so crappy.
I know.
But, like, I love the way the show can shine a light on that, but also make it hilarious.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I love, she's like, do people really ask that? She's like, every single day. Like, yeah. They're so dejected about it. And then when they throw back at it later when she's on a phone call and the guy next to her is like, no, she's not a witch.
Yeah.
It's so great.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, really wonderful. And then Alana calls up the brother at some point, and that's, like, another really fun throwback. Because he's Steele's at home back. Watching.
Kirk Steele, my man.
Yeah. And he, like, closes it, and he's like, oh, I'll go back to watching it. I loved that, like, little reference there, because that's, you know.
I just like her interactions on the phone. Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, bitch, call me when you vote. Text me.
And, text me when you're dead.
And it's so natural. That's the other thing that with this show I think we identify with so much is none of them overact, and they're mm-hmm. all playing so true to who they are in right. different ways that when you're watching, you're just like, if I got that phone call and someone talked to me like that, I wouldn't be offended.
Yeah.
Because you know it's really coming. They're just being themselves.
Totally.
It is like a show that doesn't give the actors enough credit. Like, I know they've gotten some attention, and I think Alana's gotten a couple Critics' Choice nominations, but, like, it's, you could argue it's one of the best acted comedies on TV right now, because mm-hmm. it's played so consistently, and, like, it's hard to play comedic characters really consistently sometimes mm-hmm. because there's so much variation in jokes, and they both nail it. Everyone mm-hmm. does in the show.
I agree.
Yeah. I think it helps that they write it as well.
Yeah.
Because then you're writing the tone for who you are, right. and as we've seen as the seasons progress, they do change a little bit in mm-hmm. how they interact with each other and with other people and kind of their different relationships. So when you're kind of writing it for how you want to move the character, it's for a little sure. bit easier to keep it consistent, I think.
Yeah,
totally. So then when we get Abby and Alana back together, and it's the highlight of this episode, which actually was after the credits. Like, the credits started to roll.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was like the tag.
And then Hillary Clinton walks in, and they're, like, freaking out. There's sparks in the back, and then they're like, oh, it's just a lot. And Hillary's like, take your time.
Mm-hmm. She nailed it.
Yeah, I thought she
did. You know, and all the people that, and not that I'm jaded by it at all, but we all have, like, met people or interacted with celebrities that you see on TV and you think, like, oh, I'd be so excited. And you get there, and it's exciting, and then after the next couple, it's a little less exciting until finally you're just, like, indifferent about it. But I think I would have that reaction meeting her.
Yeah.
Her hair never moves.
Yeah.
She's like a unicorn. Like, you see her places, but, like, never get close enough to touch her.
Right.
And so when they're excited, and I saw this in an interview, they're saying, like, we were genuinely, like, shaking yeah. with excitement.
Well, because that's the thing. When you work in entertainment, because I think all four of us do, or, like, we're at least satellite. I mean, we're doing this. We've met people. We live in L.A. But politicians are, like, actually important people. Like, mm-hmm. I think when you work in entertainment, you realize, like, actors are just doing their job. They're actors. They have a job just like the rest of us. But, like, and they're powerful people. But, like, politicians are, like, socially important people. And,
right.
like, actually powerful people. So Abby and Alana in real life were probably like, oh, my gosh, we might be meeting the next president of the United States.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Totally.
Now, would you say I pegged like Abby did?
She's like, I'm a proud Democrat. And then she's like, she's a proud Democrat. She was something else.
An Aquarius.
An Aquarius. That's what it was. And I pegged.
Again, it's like so adorable. I just feel like Abby's adorable.
Yeah, she's great.
I thought that Hillary Clinton's performance was good. I mean, granted, she had one or two lines, yeah. but just the way she stood there and just smiled.
The
way
she was Hillary.
She was the president. That, yeah. And that was kind of endearing to see. And, you know, people critique the amount of exposure politicians have now and their engagement in media relations,
like, culture.
Right, yeah. and going on late night shows and engaging with celebrities, but that's our generation and it's very media oriented.
Right.
So to be able to integrate that and kind of give millennials a perspective that they might not have otherwise, mm-hmm. or an interest, her being yeah. on that show, I think is a huge step in the right direction to get younger people interested. And
smart. I mean, I think her campaign was really smart.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, very clever. And I know that as of the time of the taping, this was Hillary's only, like, TV show appearance.
Scripted.
Do you know yeah. she did one right after this, and she wore the same outfit.
Nice. Really? Do you know yeah. what for?
I can't. It was, I don't think it was The Daily Show.
Oh, okay.
But she wore the same jacket, and they did an interview, and Alana was like, she's like a real woman. Like, she wore the same jacket. That is confidant. Like, she really was her character in that yes. moment. And it was so cute to see, like, she goes, this is like potentially the next president. She wore the same outfit. Like, she didn't care. Same jacket. She was just, like, beautiful. And she wore this, like, lacy blouse underneath and was just like so fabulous. That's and I was awesome. Like, that's amazing to think like your husband was the president of the United States. You're here now and you're doing these cameos on kind of a nothing TV show that's just now like starting to get a little steam behind it. And you just don't care. Like, you're just here to promote. It's kind of awesome.
Totally. Yeah. And in that interview that I shared with you guys a few weeks ago, they were just saying that, you know, she's there, she's totally professional, but she was just like making decisions at the same time. Just, and they're like, we wouldn't expect Hillary. They're like, Bill? Yeah, probably. But like Hillary, they're like, she's going to come in, or it's people smoking weed. Like, what are we going to do? You know, if she watches this show, she's not going to want to do it. And they were just so happy that she agreed to do it. And I'm glad that she did. It turned out wonderfully.
It's great.
Like all of our fun cameos. So like, so just in these 2 weeks, what have we had? We've had Alan Alda, Rachel Dratch, Cynthia Nixon, of course, Hillary Clinton. And then in our next episode in Philadelphia, we've got Abby's dad, played by
Tony Danza.
Tony
which
Danza.
Is a, such an interesting, like, how do you pick Tony Danza?
I'm so happy they did, though.
He's kind of Philly. Was like the, I was trying to think if they were casting a Philadelphia dad. Tony Danza's a good choice, I think.
Yeah. Well, he's also very funny.
Yeah.
So he made a good decision, you know, for Abby's dad, because he's just kind of like subtle in the things that he says and does, a lot like Abby.
And he's a sweet guy too, in the same way that she's pretty sweet, you know.
Their handshake. Are we going into the next one?
Okay,
cool. So do you guys remember the Bed Bath & Beyond, what she had going on?
One of my favorite moments.
Okay, so clearly this is an Abby thing. Like, she just likes to make these like little routines out of a handshake, and I thought that her probably learning that from her dad was really sweet.
Yeah.
It was a good moment.
That's something that she's grown up with.
And
them going, the whole montage of them traveling to, what is it, Wayne. The city of Wayne, was really funny because, like, so I'm watching it and it's just like, oh, standard friend traveling stuff. But there's one point where they, like, are talking to a guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, who is this guy? Was this somebody important? Because they totally were like, oh, like old pals. Like, did she, I was waiting for this guy to come back. But he didn't.
I felt like there's someone she just sees on the train if she goes home. Because when I was watching, I go, what a weird like introduction to this person, and then they never address it.
Yeah.
I was talking with Brandon before the show, and it's funny. I liked this episode. I think it's been not one of my favorites of the season. There's a very specific reason why, and I couldn't figure out what it was, and you pointed it out to me.
Oh, yeah. It was my least favorite. And you realize that New York is a character, and it plays such an important role in how they interact with each other, and all the different sets that they went to, it was something, like, not organic about it.
Yeah, it's funny, because it was funny. Like, it was well-written, it was smart, and it was fun having Abby and Alana together, but it did feel like taking them out of New York, it sucked a little bit out of the show for me. But it was still a good episode. I mean, not as great episode of Broad City, still an amazing episode of television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but. And I noticed, too, I thought you guys were going to go, I thought it was more cinematic. Like, when you watch, when they see Alex at the end, it's shot like a movie. Like, it doesn't even look like a TV show anymore. And I thought that's where you're going to go with this. Like, if you watch it back now, and even in the bowling alley, they're not moving around like they do. It's not, like, tracking shots. It was shot, I think, a little bit differently. And I meant to look up if the director was anybody different than they've used before. But I thought, I don't know, I thought it was a fun, for me, Rat Pack was kind of the weaker one out of the season so far. But I enjoyed Philadelphia.
Oh, I still liked it, too. It was fun having them together. But I did miss New York, was what I noticed.
Yeah, yeah. It is a character. It's like Sex and the City, where they talked about how that's one of the characters.
Right.
And New York City plays a part. And we've seen parts of New York that we haven't seen on other shows because Broad City brings us to parts of New York that we don't see on other shows.
Right,
right. It's just like in Sex and the City, when they go to Los Angeles, like, it feels a little off. You're just like a little off. Like, it's fine episode, but you're like, oh, but I want you to go, like, sit on a stoop somewhere.
The one thing, and you're right, that you see about Broad City is that because they root it in so much realism, is that you see the gritty, gross parts of New York that you learn to, if you live there, you learn to appreciate those things, but it's not kind of the glitz and glamour. Like with LA, they only shoot in a very selected part of LA because otherwise people would be appalled.
Right.
It kind of loses its glamour.
Yeah.
But with New York being such a prominent character in the show, when you go places like Philadelphia, and they've said that this season is going to be a little bit more aligned with how other series are shot. So maybe going other places, you know, some of the camera work, things like that. So I'll be interested to see when they get back to New York, if the camera angles and
editing
stay the same, but they're back in the city.
Yeah, because that could be a jump in budget. And it just happened to kick in during this traveling episode, or maybe that's why they could travel for this episode.
Yeah.
You know, because to take a whole crew to another place that's not where they're regularly based, like, that's costs a lot.
And there's more narrative continuity, which is, it's an interesting twist, and I don't know if I prefer either way. Like, I don't know if I love it or dislike it. It's just an interesting change for this season, which is nice. It's nice to have a change.
And you brought that up last week, that they were going to try to make this one a little bit more narrative.
Seasonal. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was expecting something from Trey this week. On one, or I guess from the past 2 weeks.
You're
little
right.
thing about Abby. But, I mean, you could really drop in and watch 2016 if you wanted to, and you wouldn't have to know the show.
Yeah, you're actually right. Like, I don't feel like we had a lot of plot development in these two. I don't know.
Yeah, but overall, I mean, they've grown the characters even more. Like, we know that Alana can tap dance now. I mean, you get these characters, you get more and more each episode, but...
For sure.
We just didn't get a Trey, or we didn't get a Lincoln, or...
Maybe we'll see a lot more in these last four, because there's only four left, right? We only have two more episodes. Yeah.
Don't even...
I know. So I'm wondering...
All the heartbreak.
If we're going to see a lot more... In the leads last four, maybe we'll see a ton.
But. Well, they did say, to specify, they did say that if you watch them independently, you wouldn't be out anything, but you would get the most robust story from watching them sequentially. So it's kind of like any other season that they've done. You can watch one by itself and not need to know anything about the characters and still enjoy it. So I don't think it's you have to watch them this way to understand what's really going on, because that would change the entirety of the show.
Right.
It's nice to be able to watch one and then... Oh, I haven't watched for 3 weeks, so I'll watch this one, and then I'll watch that one. It's kind of the fun part.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So in this episode in Philadelphia, we've got basically two missions, right? Abby's mission is to get this money back to her high school friend, Alice, who got in an accident. She did a fundraiser for her and realizes, oh, shit, I never gave her the money. Years later. And then Alana's mission is... She's trying to sell this Beanie Baby, this super valuable...
JonBenet Ramsey.
Which was, I think that's a real thing, isn't it? They had the Princess Die Beanie Baby.
Oh, I thought you meant JonBenet Ramsey.
No.
I was like, yeah, she was very real.
That doesn't click with me. I don't know who No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm talking about... They had, like, Princess Die beanies, right? And was JonBenet really a Beanie Baby?
I don't know.
I feel like that was maybe up? Not. I don't have Wi-Fi here, but we'll double-check.
Yeah,
if you guys
look.
Are watching...
I'm going to look it. I'll look it up right now.
That makes me a little sick to my stomach.
No, there is a Princess Di.
Didn't have
it was
stars
purple,
in a crown?
I think.
I'm thinking of, I don't know, Hillary Rodham Clinton.
I'm looking it all up.
I feel
so
like
we don't
it's
have
one
to...
of two things. Either Broad City wanted to, like, make fun of how, like, corporatized Beanie Babies were.
Yeah.
Or they were like, this is real. More people need to know that this actually exists. We're writing it into the show as a main plot point of this episode.
Yeah, because we're going back into Abby's room, which... I had Beanie Babies when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that the room was still the same because I was trying to look for all the posters and who... And I guess she had Ross Geller from Friends.
Yeah.
I was like, it's just like, it's so of the time. So I thought that a Beanie Baby was very apropos.
Yeah.
What kind of stuff is in your childhood room?
Oh, man. A lot of, like, trophies. That sounds so douchey. Oh, my gosh.
Let's hear more about your trophies. What kind of trophies?
Like, I used to run. I was a cross-country runner.
Oh, okay.
I swam and stuff.
Oh, so not that bad. All right.
But I was also on, like, an awesome creative writing team. I'm really proud of those trophies. And
oh,
in
there's
grade,
all
I went
your
to
fancy
States
words
from a short
come
story.
From.
Exactly. So, you know, that's what I'm... That's mostly it, though. I have a boring bedroom.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And what about you?
Yeah.
Oh, me. I'm still looking up this JonBenet Ramsey. You know, I had sports posters that were put there for me. Otherwise, I would have not chosen those. But then I did have a beautiful Britney Sepia tone poster behind my door, and then
Spears?
A Backstreet. Yes, of course. Okay. Who else? Who else in the 90s Britney related would
have been
relevant
Murphy,
enough
Snow.
To? It could have been.
Actually,
I do
not
love,
really Snow Murphy.
R.I.P.
Yeah, it could have been Britney Murphy.
I do love Britney Murphy, and then I had like a Backstreet Boys ones. But otherwise, I was. Like, nothing. Otherwise, there was, like, Pottery Barn type things that my mom put in there,
right.
And
does
it looked
like
a magazine.
Like that?
God, no. Oh, my. We've moved 100 times. I went to, like, 7 different schools all through elementary, so that stuff is
Me
boxed
too.
Up, packed away.
We are twinsies.
Do you feel like you... Like, I don't have any... I didn't care about a childhood room. Like, I have friends in college or who have graduated. They don't want their parents changing their room.
Yeah.
Like, what
size
do you have there?
I always miss out on that because whenever people are like, oh, I'm going back to the, like, visit my parents and, like, my room is still there.
Like, my childhood home.
Or they're like, oh, they're changing my room to be a gym or something. And I was like, so?
Yeah.
You don't live there?
Right.
It's fine. Like, who cares? Like, I don't know where any of my childhood
stuff
is. It's, like, gone. All I have is stuff from the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm. And you're, like, lucky to have that. You're like, I'm surprised I didn't throw that shit out.
Yeah, I was like, this is great. This
well, that's what I liked about this episode was that Abby is the kind of person who would be attached to her child and stuff. Like, that was smart writing. And what a fun production design job to create her room.
Yeah.
Like, to see, we saw Grateful Dead and, like,
fish?
We see
I saw a fish poster.
Fish.
Yeah.
We see her dreadlock.
Her dreadlock that smells like meat.
That was so gross.
That was a little, like, Broad City can be almost too gross for me. And something about that really was, like,
that a lot of clips. The two. I mean, and that they say it, I mean,
that she
played
like,
into
had
a part.
It, so why?
Yeah.
She just had
yeah.
like in a bag, like in a pile. And
okay, I just found the JonBenet Ramsey. Okay, so it is not a real Beanie Baby, from what I can tell.
Okay, good.
Princess Di did have a real one. It was purple.
Yeah.
But they say in the episode, she's talking about, you know, people are like following up about this Beanie Baby, and she goes, well, the Ramseys want this thing. Which is really interesting. I wonder if they got any flack for that, because it's kind of like a soft spot for America. That was like America's sweetheart when it happened.
Right.
And so I wonder how they chose to incorporate that, like that specific
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, because it's a decision.
I wonder if they worry, like, oh, this might not be.
Maybe this is going to be too far.
Mm-hmm. Maybe because it was so, like, specific that that's what made it appealing
work.
To them. Yeah.
This episode did have some a little bit more darkness than we're used to, which I was fine with. I never mind that, but
yeah, like a girl got hit by a bus.
My boyfriend just texted and said, WTF, seriously, JonBenet Ramsey beanie. Everyone can calm down. There's no JonBenet.
It's not real.
Wait a minute.
I have done. That's the Princess Di.
That's Princess Di.
Our producer did, in fact, find the Princess Di beanie baby.
I apologize for thinking it was a real thing.
Are you going to throw it up there, Marissa?
You know.
Yep.
Very impressive.
Look at
and
that.
They're worth money.
Yeah.
Like, and you have, I can't remember, one time I had, like, done a little research, McDonald's toys are worth a lot of money, and McDonald's toys release, like, miniature Beanie Babies, and they were going for, like, $500 online.
I have a Beanie Baby. You guys are going to want to hate me. That's worth $3,200.
What?
Mm-hmm. I looked
what
it
is it?
It's only worth what someone will buy it for, so it may say $3,200.
No, on eBay, the one that I have is going for $3,200.
Which one is it?
I think it's Peanut.
Is that an elephant?
Mm-hmm.
Aww.
That was a really random guess. If you
no, do you want it? I have $3,200.
I have $3,200 in my like a lot. I just bought a box. Here it is.
I'm gonna wait though, because in 10 years, who knows?
Who knows if there's still if there's still a market for
it
that.
It fluctuates. What does Alana say? These things go up and down. They fluctuate.
It depends on the weight of the yen or whatever.
Because I take stuff a lot and I resell it on eBay all the time.
Do you make money doing that?
I do.
You could live in New York. I feel like you have to do those types of things to live there.
You have to have the hustle.
I don't have that.
No, I've definitely had things that like I bought and then I'm like, all right, I'm going to sell it during the Christmas season. And then for some reason, like I missed it during the Christmas season. So now it's like worth only like retail.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I have to wait. And so now it just like sits in my, it's usually Nintendo stuff.
Oh,
that's interesting.
I'll buy that.
Little toys and things like that.
Well, since we're off topic, have you ever noticed how at Goodwill, they never mark down, because if you thrift, they never mark down holiday stuff. So that's very smart.
Yeah.
Holiday stuff must sell really well.
Yeah, all the time. Because everybody's always going to want it.
Well, now the market's going to be saturated because everyone watching this is going to go out and buy holiday stuff on eBay.
Or hundreds of millions of viewers.
Well, okay, so impressed with Alana and her skills, her negotiation skills. Like, so, mm-hmm. like that, I was like, yes, I am in this.
Yes,
I'm in
yes,
Alana because
yes.
I'm definitely the one who's like, listen, no, I'm not new.
Yeah.
I'm not new. I've been in the game 10 years, mm-hmm. all right? This is, you're going to pay for this. And, but they're, so as they're going along on this, trying to get the money back to Alice because they have to find Alice and where she lives, mm-hmm. They end up spending like half of the money or mm-hmm. like more than it. Yeah, like,
this was the only thing to me that I'm just like, okay, like, couldn't you just take an Uber or something?
Well,
get over there.
They didn't know where she lived. They were doing, like, recon.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have to, like, recon.
Right.
Like, that
this was funny. I was just gonna say quick, like, I almost felt like, and this isn't usually a complaint I have with the show, I felt like it did take us a minute to get going with this episode plot wise which I know, like, plot isn't what Broad City is, but we didn't really get a conflict until the second act, like until we broke into the second act. But once this was introduced to the idea of we've got to get this money back owing to guilt, but the only way we can get this money back is by spending the money we need to give back, I thought was a pretty funny setup.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, they were not, the money was not going to make it there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, but.
I wish that they just took the Winnebago that Abby got taken in.
Yeah.
That would have been hilarious.
That whole, like, section was so awful, like, dark, but hilarious.
Right.
This is where we told you about our divorce.
Well, yeah. I think it was a nice juxtaposition between the beautiful suburban area and then, like, the horrible things that happened in suburbia.
Hilarious. Well, Abby got taken. It just explains a lot.
She likes trash because it's, like, things that have a history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so great.
Which maybe that's why she was a cleaner at,
at the gym.
Yeah. At Solstice, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they did successfully get back to Alice, but, of course, she's got, like, a baller mansion that used to belong to Will Smith's mom.
Mm-hmm.
and she was, like, a model because the surgery, like, made her, elongated her, and she just could never get the weight
no
on.
Scars,
she can't,
but...
Yeah. She can't
was
put
she
on
famous
weight.
Or, that wasn't a cameo, was
I
it?
Thought it was Kate Upton when she opened the door at first. I was like, no way. And then I didn't recognize her
I
after.
Didn't recognize okay, her.
She was pretty, though.
She was very
beautiful,
pretty.
Yeah.
And a good. I thought she had good timing, too.
Yeah, she's funny.
And I liked the interaction with the boyfriend, which Abby earlier in the episode had made out with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Abby's frisky this season.
Yeah,
they're
getting
her a lot. Getting hers, yeah.
Get it, girl. Get it. And I just like that. He's like, I'm sorry, babe. She's like, this is the second time today.
Second
like,
strike.
Today.
Yeah, that was, I think that I wrote that down. That was my favorite line.
Really, really great. And then Ilana, like, so she ends up losing the Beanie Baby in the end because Alice just takes it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she's like, offers it to her, and then the girl snatches it, and she's like, $3,200, why? We could have just been jerks and left.
Yeah.
You know, so, that's our girls.
Those are our girls.
I love them. I love them so much. So.
Like life, not everything can be super interesting and fun, but this episode, in the grand scheme of things, was still pretty good for what they do. The bar is just set so high that now it's like achieving that every week you're not going
to
do.
It ended strong, I thought.
And it's really smart to have that dreadlock, which we knew smelled like sausage or pepperoni, to be the thing that got the dog to drop the thing. So it just, it all relates, and they just think so far ahead when they're writing these, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. They're like, they plant little seeds, and I can imagine, like, from, like, when I've written things, like, I might write through, and I'm like, this scenario, like, how could have we gotten out of this in a creative way, and then you back up, and you're like, okay, let's plant this seed.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
And it'll be fun.
Good writing strategy.
It'll be fun. Cool. So, yeah, those are our two episodes for this week's After Show for Broad City 2016 in Philadelphia. Let's do some predictions, guys.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I think we're going to see more of Trey next week.
Yeah.
I think because they kind of talked about him in one of the last two episodes, or not talked about him, but referenced him from the Kirk Steele era. And when they get back to the city, I feel like Abby's going to have to address what happened.
Yeah, right? It needs to be addressed.
Yeah. I agree. I want that. And I'm hoping, I mean, my first week prediction was cameos, and I'm getting those. So bam, I want bam, more, bam. More, 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 more.
Yeah, I think we'll have an Abby and Ilana separated episode next time, so we had them together for Philadelphia. I'm still Trabbying, so I hope that happens. Which is Trey and Abby, I'm sure.
I got that.
And have we seen Bevers once this season?
Very quick,
just
in
the first on the toilet.
One. Yeah.
I bet we'll get more Bevers. I like I missed him. I didn't think I'd miss him, but I miss Bevers.
I think that he had another show going on, so maybe might have been reason, but hopefully we do get like a quick Bevers.
Yeah.
I'd like that.
I am hoping for Trey and Abby to happen.
Trabby.
But I think that Abby will keep it a secret from Ilana.
I have one more.
Okay. Yeah. Do it.
I think that Lincoln, Ilana, and someone else are going to get into a polyamorous relationship. Because she was so excited.
Yeah.
That just made me think about it. They're going to be in like a non-traditional relationship.
And then one thing that's not necessarily prediction, but something I would have loved to see in my, like, in my world where these characters are real, is seeing Abby and Ilana from the show interact and run into Donald Trump.
Ooh.
That would be fascinating. I don't want the cameo to happen.
Right.
But if this were real life, I would love to see what
they could do a nod to him in some way. Like, address it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be brilliant.
We'll see you next week.
All right, cool. So let's tell everybody where they can find you.
Guys, thanks so much for tuning in. Again, it's Jeff Graham. Keep watching. We love having you here every week. Guys can find me on Twitter at Jeffrey C. Graham, and then on Instagram at Jeffrey Crane Graham.
And at the beach.
And at the beach.
Yeah, look for the
beach. You were very aggressive with that point.
There was so much...
I'm going to do that.
Was I pointing? Mm-hmm. I feel like
it's because we're talking
my strengths as a host probably don't lend themselves to intros and outros, but I'm learning, you guys.
You're doing great.
Second strike today.
Second strike today.
Today.
All right, today. I'm Jay. You can find me on Instagram at @don't_be_jealous, and then Twitter... @still_jealous. I say it every week and I still can't get it out. Sorry.
Yeah, well, I'm Brandon Marlowe. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @BAMARLO.
Screw you.
Yeah. And I'm Mary Lou Mandel. Thank you so much for watching again, you guys. You can find me on all social media at Mary Lou Mandel, MaryLouMandl. We will see you in 2 weeks.
Yas.
Bye, guys.
Yas, Quinn.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.